Hello, viewer. Thank you for your time and consideration. My identity is irrelevant. You may call me Archangel. My mission has been to point out how we brutalize males despite propaganda that males are privileged oppressors. Obviously, I have longevity in this venture because most people robustly refute claims of male mistreatment as poor in proof, rich in imagination. Misandry is paranoid psychosis caused by a bad breakup. Sorry, but the truth is, male oppression, female victimization is a truculent aggression tactic wielded by people who have financial or egoic investment in male devaluation precipitated by gynocentrism. Proof of male abuse and degradation is hiding right out in the open. Everybody witnesses multiple trespasses upon males daily. However, the majority of the populace does not register male mistreatment as abuse because they view social interactions through the filter of female victimization, which renders male mistreatment opaque as we vigorously continue to prosecute males as female oppressors. You want proof of how we abuse males with smug impunity? Look at how we are literally spilling male blood every single day through males that sacrifice themselves in hazardous jobs or military conflicts. This is real evidence of male disposability. But there is another ugly face to our polite justice for all society, a legally sanctioned male blood bath, and to witness it, you need look no further than the local hospital. That's right. Many may know where this is going, and if you in any way rolled your eyes or dismissed this as not being the horrid, ignorant, arrogant, disfiguring assault that it is, then you should not be allowed to have sons. I find it ironic that I, being offspring free on purpose, has to plead with those who are expecting boys not to hurt them. When I hear of people in my sphere who are expecting a son, I absolutely stick my nose in their business and give them the unsolicited advice with one beautiful statement: do not circumcise. I don't give a damn if they are annoyed. Somebody has to speak for the rights of the unborn male, because everybody else from society to religion to the medical establishment will be pushing the opposite direction in favor of genital savagery. Most will at least ask why I say this, and essentially I narrow everything down to one declaration of bodily sovereignty: his body, his choice. It doesn't matter who you are, a parent, a rabbi, a doctor, it's not your prerogative to cut up the anatomy of any other person any more than it is their right to cut up your body. All hygiene, appearance, and religious baloney aside, at its core, this is a matter of basic human rights. And here is the bottom line. Is it your foreskin? Is it life-threatening? Then you have nothing to say. Period. Point blank. I am continually sickened by our wholesale abuse of males. But our mistreatment of males, our failure to protect helpless infants, even as society argues over patriarchy and wage gap, this is abhorrent, yet obvious to the awakened, because we understand males as cattle, used for the benefit of the female populace and the few alphas running female affairs. If you are oblivious to reality, well, truth is, humanity uses males for labor, protection, provision, invention, innovation, and financial productivity. Males as a collective are a resource, a workforce, fleeced of vitality, then discarded. As one generation of drones ages and weakens, the next generation of young, thirsty males is rising up to fill the societal demand for protection and provision. This is the perpetual human machine gynocentrism has conjured. The fact that we genitally cut males is proof of their devaluation to societal utilities. One of the many evidentiary facts that demonstrates males as lesser value livestock is lack of bodily sovereignty. Look at how we treat those who we consider lesser to us. We control them, make decisions for them, impose our wills and uninvited trespass onto them. For example, cattle we butcher at will, and even our own pets, whom we say we love, we alter their ears or tails to suit our whims. no matter human or animal. We deny rights, especially bodily sovereignty, to those whom we essentially view as property. The superior feel the right to bodily trespass the lesser, whether we cut off the testicles or tag the ear of a horse or a cow, or whether we brand a slave. Those in a superior position feel that the physical bodies of those in a lesser position to be their property, subject to alteration at whim. The truth and logic is undeniable here. Simply observe history and the dynamics of human struggles. There is one recurring theme. A lack of rights, including bodily sovereignty, marks the enslaved as a resource, more or less utilized at the whims of the exalted or superior class. Fast forward to today. We are inundated with social propaganda, patriarchy, feminism. We argue over chivalry, wage gap, and sex trafficking. There is so much mudslinging, it is hard to know what to believe. But seriously, try and remove yourself to a cloud above humanity and observe the greater themes that humans practice. Then ask yourself, who really has the power? To answer this, here are three aspects to consider. Who controls social narratives? Who are you not allowed to criticize? And who has bodily sovereignty? Look around. Females wield social control, which, by extension, is legislative control. A female can ruin a man's life with mere words. Males do not have this ability. Next, males that criticize females are dealt with harshly by the public, whereas females' criticisms of males is a commonplace point of comedy and payback for patriarchy. And finally, females are the class entitled to bodily sovereignty. Males are not. So again, who is the exalted and who is the cattle class used as a resource, disqualified from the full rights or considerations enjoyed by the superior? If you cannot admit the bigger picture indicators of human power structure and sex hierarchy, and that the truth is in direct opposition to the ubiquitous male oppression, female victimization social rhetoric, then it is because you choose not to acknowledge the inequity, since you most likely have some material or egoic investment in the reigning gynocentric paradigm. Foreskin theft is a violence against males by males, and the inequity is starting to leak out more and more. Guys are waking to the injustice of gynocentrism and its myriad trickle-down effects currently magnified in society by the rabidity of feminism at this current stage of traditionalism. That's right, guys have invoked all of this, meaning, quite simply, gynocentrism is compelled by reproductive imperatives, coupled with sexual anatomy dimorphism and prioritization of uteruses over testicles for successful procreative completion. Hence, gynocentrism drives all human social constructs, especially conservative traditionalism, the very paradigm blamed for female oppression and victimization, as well as the very same paradigm devalued males look to as a savior they pray will return to deliver them. Feminism arises out of conservative traditionalism because traditionalism protects and infantilizes females, leaving only fellow males to squeeze for labor and pack insulation. For example, male life utilization as a shield to protect women and children during times of war. Such protections led to infantilization, and females began to resent the restrictions of infantilization, not being allowed to do everything that the boys do. And eventually, when social, technological, and financial climates optimize, females revolt against the supposed suppression of traditionalism, and thus the feminist phase of traditionalism is launched, and this is where we currently are. Now, if you look close at the aforementioned benchmarks of power, you will be saturated with a troublesome truth. Females hold the reins of power. Males are merely figureheads, utility puppets. If you cannot bring yourself to admit any other indicator of male subservience to female superior life value, then look at circumcision. Males are divorced of their right to bodily sovereignty. And again, a lack of bodily sovereignty is one significant, undeniable marker of the lesser class. Go to any hospital in the Western world, and you will see a male butchery shop labeled maternity ward, where males, divorced of rights, are sliced up at the whims of others. Infant girls are not. Let's think about that. which sex has bodily sovereignty to the point that they legalize abortion, and which sex gets assaulted by misandry running through the religious and cultural bias that encourages parents to pad the hospital bill by cutting up their newly born son, whom they are supposed to love more than life itself. How is this even an option to cut on newborn infant males? Because males are the devalued class. Males are cattle, a resource to be used, not equal to females. Remember, bodily sovereignty is a luxury that the lesser value cattle class are not entitled to. Only the superior class has entitlement to rights, and so you have circumcision offered like an option on a new car purchase, a choice like whether or not to supersize your fast food lunch. Would you like your new brat with or without foreskin? If this world is a good old boys club where males are privileged over females, then why do we cut them and spare females? How much clearer does this need to be for you? Males are cattle in the hierarchy of human life value, and cattle are resources, not beings with rights commensurate to that of the superior value rich class. Males are property of a gynocentric existence, in the same way soldiers are legal property of the government, resources the army may choose to fill with whatever injectable concoction they want, because the soldiers are military property. Understand that males start off life as property of the maternal parent, who, fueled by anti-male bias, can choose to brand at will with misinformed mutilation. And with such genital trespass, we announce to the world males' inferior value and their unworthiness to decide the disposition of their very own body. Devaluing males as property is how we arrive at such prejudice, where male anatomy is not special, precious, or even their own. No, no, no. It is reduced to a choice that dad gets to endorse, so Junior will be a chip off the old block. The medical, governmental, cultural, religious establishments portray this butchery not as a betrayal of protection, not as an assault. No, it is a blessing, a beneficial enrichment, a choice given to parents, which will initiate another boy into servitude. Are people so blinded by propaganda that you cannot see the real issue here? Human rights. Infant males are not new humans with inherent protections, especially in their helpless state. They are tools the doctor can use to make more money. Tools that religions can use as examples of obedience to God. Tools to provide precious tissue to skincare companies. Females get to keep their genitalia intact. Males do not. You tell me, what does this say? How can people stomach the doublespeak, wherein they say they love their sons, yet find it completely acceptable, to the point of cavalier nonchalance, to hack up their most sensitive anatomy? Is this how we show our caring? By attacking helpless boys with knives, armed with smugly ignorant justifications? Well, apparently, we have been going about our general appreciation of loved ones all wrong. Instead of birthday or Christmas presents, we should immobilize them so they're helpless, then cut off their earlobes for their own good, because they are not competent to decide what happens to their own body. People do not want to know the truth about circumcision, because males will discover how abhorrently they have been trespassed by those who claim love for them, and parents would have to reconcile themselves with the horrid betrayal, assault, and theft of anatomy and sexual experience from the child they claim to love and want a better life for. Now, for the propaganda which justifies the mutilation, it's cleaner, it looks better, less chance of viral contraction, God orders it, etc. The truth is, foreskin removal is like color removal from eyesight. It is the theft of a great deal of the rich fullness of the sexual sensation. Like having nerve damage to one fingertip, you can still feel rudimentary touch, but not the fine sensations generously available to the other fingers. Theft of helpless infant foreskin quite simply removes the most sensitive parts of the penis. It is not vestigial superfluous skin. It is alive with mucosal membranes, tens of thousands of specialized nerve endings. It is highly specialized tissue, comprising 30 to 50% of the penile shaft skin. The list of structures lost in this assault is astonishing. Lymphatic cells, several feet of blood vessels, including the frenular vessel, apocrine glands, sebaceous glands, Langerhans cells, and protection of the exquisitely sensitive glands, which is meant to be an internal organ, not a rough keratinized external organ. You lose the frenulum, the rigid band, the inner foreskin, and a great deal of the dartos fascia, and tens of thousands of specialized erotogenic nerve endings, akin in sensory acuity to that of lips or fingertips or the tongue. And all of this translates to a loss of sexual pleasure, sexual function, sexual experience, and loss of natural gliding mechanism, which is more enjoyable for both partners. And the helpless infant is left with numbing dysfunction, permanent alteration, and subconscious memories of brutality with no forthcoming justice. Fact is, the one most sensitive area of the mutilated penis, usually at the frenulum scar line, does not come close to the sensory acuity of five areas of the intact penis. But all of this is denied, drowned out with the "it's cleaner, prettier, and good for them" propaganda, because those who have been assaulted and those who have been party to such assault do not want to believe the horrid truth about the devastating loss precipitated by ignorant butchery. You look up anything about circumcision and you will get overwhelmed, inundated with brainwashing, impressed with the endorsements of government agencies charged with public care, or the testimonials of benefit from doctors or pediatricians, or the blessings of religious leaders. You may be seduced by false benefits and lies that nothing important is lost, or because guys will receive the aesthetic stamp of approval by females. It is easy to get carried away with propaganda, but none of this matters, because the issue here is very simple. Do males have the right to bodily sovereignty? You see, the greatest loss in foreskin theft is the egregious loss of human rights, a trespass we have been enacting behind the scenes for centuries against the disposable class of humanity, whom we prosecute as a tyrannical patriarchy of oppressors, who have gathered the privileges of life to themselves while abusing females. But males circumcise males. How does this uphold male privilege? By circumventing male rights and hindering their enjoyment of sexual pleasure, which is one of the life perks that these testicled privileged royalty exist to enjoy at females' expense? How does this make sense? It's baloney. Traditionalism is not a good old boys' club of exclusivity. Traditionalism is the lapdog of gynocentrism. Gynocentrism drives everything in human existence, including the infamous patriarchy. My dear audience, examine closely and you will see that circumcision is an upholding of male devaluation as lesser value beings, cattle, resources we impose our bias on too with self-righteous condescension. It's cleaner, it's prettier, it's better for you. Can you not see the insults embedded in our justifications? The hygiene justification merely demeans males as inferior, cumbersome, intellectually challenged ogres who can't manage the intricacies of soap and water. Next, it looks better. Here we subvert male rights to please the tastes of the superior class, females. FYI, females do not like male genitalia, cut or uncut, so who are we trying to pretty up penises for? Again, males are lesser value beings, here to service, entertain, and please females, meaning the rights of the cattle pale in comparison to the superficial tastes of the masters, and so this is essentially a branding of misandry. Oh, and don't forget the obedience excuse. God orders it. This excuse admits the lies of the game, which state that circumcision causes no harm or loss of sensation, and the religious excuse checkmates the lies. How? Well, we know foreskin removal is sensory loss, because this practice came out of the religious notion that sex is evil, and so by removing the foreskin, they sought to curb sexual desire and masturbation through numbed sensation and impaired sexual function. You hear that? Our predecessors absolutely understood that foreskin theft removed the most sensitive parts of the penis. That's why they did it, to impair sexual function and pleasure, hoping that this would satiate their sexual desire, that they may better serve God. assaulting helpless boys for religious reasons is an overturning of all the propaganda that it causes no harm by admitting a loss of organs, cells, mucosal membranes, and nerve endings. They did this specifically to remove sensation, to curb sexual desire. Yet today, people want to argue that there is no appreciable loss of sensation or nerves or experience. The ancients did it specifically for that loss. Hello? Eventually, circumcision got twisted into an homage, an offering synonymous with pious service to God. It's all subterfuge. Wake up and educate yourselves. What is scary is a citizenry too brainwashed to question their environmental institutions and belief structures. All excuses used to cut boys puts males in a disparaging light, as inferior livestock incapable or unworthy of making their own choices about their own bodies. And so, because we usurp choices for the intellectually handicapped subordinate class, undeserving of rights and human dignities our laws pretend to uphold for all, hence we cut up infants when small and unable to resist. Furthermore, due to the indoctrination of male villainy and patriarchal oppression, there is a certain misandristic satisfaction in branding the male sex, sort of a polite society payback for all the supposed oppression of women. Hey, but wait, what about girls? Yes, people will bloviate about female genital mutilation as a diversion away from the responsibility for horrid male mutilation. Well, point out one hospital where female infants are cut up upon birth. Please point out the municipality where it is an option, a choice, for parents to order the cutting of their daughter, like one might order fast food. Would you like fries or onion rings with that? Indeed, there are a few places in Africa, for example, that do genitally mutilate girls, and this is wrong. Yes, trespass of anyone is wrong. However, frequency of female genital mutilation pales in comparison to the occurrence rates of male genital barbarism carried out in institutions that cling to benevolent Hippocratic oath credos, operating within countries that proclaim rights for all, especially the defenseless. According to certain statistical resources, 2 million females and 13 million males are genitally cut annually. That's over a 6-to-1 contrast of male to female abuse. Much like suicide or death from war or hazardous occupation, males are far more affected despite the propaganda that males have an easy, privileged existence. So while there may still be a few females being cut in huts or jungles, meanwhile, males are being cut at multiple times that rate in huts, jungles, houses, religious ceremonies, and most especially the one place that does not genitally cut infant females, the hallowed halls of hospitals who practice butchery beneath Hippocratic mantras. When I stand back and look at everything, it still amazes me that I am the one trying to convince expecting, proud, loving parents not to chop up their incoming boy. From a point of disgust, I am baffled that cutting boys is even an option. It's simply light dinner conversation by people that cannot understand the criminality of it, yet they will sure cry foul when somebody else stabs them. Circumcision is legalized, standardized, social mandated male abuse. The fact that it is even an option allowed in a society of rights, liberty, and justice for all is a tribute to males' lesser devalued human worth status. Sometimes I have to step back and gaze in awe at the general state of ignorance and apathy consuming the mass population. I look on in wonderment at folks who simply soldier down the road with the marching orders given them by government, media, religion, or pop culture. I wonder why people don't question or critically think. Then I realize that we are all under duress of existence, and some people simply don't want to know the truth, because that might lead them to a place of cognitive dissonance, which is further discomfort in an already torment-rich environment. Not desirable. Moreover, learning the devious truth about anything male eventually compels one to act upon this knowledge. An action, that may compromise leisurely lifestyles or cozy relationships, and may even lead to impaired social survival. Sadly, I understand the avoidance. The more I study about these specialized tissues, smooth muscle, organelle, and nerve loss, everything that someone else's prejudice has stolen from me, and the experiences and choices and protection I have been denied, I become more and more aware of a deep, churning anger. It's much easier for males to deny this monumental loss and breach of trust by those charged with their care. And neither do parents want to concede their part in abuse against the helpless being they claim to love. There is loss. As one who has been trying to uncircumcise, which is essentially stretching the remaining shaft skin to get some degree of glands coverage, I can attest that there is definitely a difference in sensitivity between the covered and uncovered glands, and I can only muse how much more exquisite it would be if I had back all the nerves and specialized tissues and glands stolen from me in my most helpless point of life. There is definitely a difference. It is not simply extra skin. It is an amalgamation of amazingly specialized tissues with purpose. And people that say otherwise are either painfully clueless or purposeful peddlers of prejudice and butchery. But again, here is the bottom line. Let's say circumcision was wonderful and even increased pleasure. Let's pretend that it made you look younger, made you bulletproof, gave you the power to fly, etc. None of that matters, because your beliefs are irrelevant. This is a human rights issue. Is it your body? Then you have no say-so. His body, his choice. How much simpler can I make this? If you want to influence him with your pro-circumcision rhetoric so he will choose to do it himself when he reaches adulthood, fine. But if it is not your body, you have no say-so, period. How can we live knowing that every few seconds, ignorance and bias has just butchered another helpless boy and sentenced him to incompleteness and dysfunction, a pitiful, degraded experience of one of life's richest sensations? Every few seconds, parents, medical professionals, and governments betray and fail boys. Yes, it is this serious. Circumcision is violence, and juvenile circumcision should be outlawed without exception. Circumcision should only be allowed at the request of an adult male himself who has been educated and is of sound mind. All the justifications, all the opinions, none of this matters. If you cannot understand this as a human rights issue, then you are not fit to be a caretaker to any male child. Do males have the right to bodily sovereignty? No, neither does livestock or any other resource that we consider lesser value utilities. My friends, stand with me, live free.